It's Fashion Friday, the business of style. From the runway to the boardroom, meet Styles Lewis, New York fashion vet, blogger, personal shopper, and mom. And Teresa Chambers, marketing guru, former Time magazine journalist, and culture enthusiast. It's Fashion Friday. We're introducing you to the arts and culture and the entrepreneurs that contribute to the fabric of Miami. This is the business of style.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Teresa Chambers. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Fashion Friday, the business of style.
Styles Lewis, thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you all and have you join us via our social networks, like our page on Facebook at Style Chambers. Check us out on Instagram.
I'd like to introduce our sponsor, Garen Evan of Garen Evan Studios. Welcome to the show. Share with us today some tips on using photography to promote your brand.
As I'm sure that the audience knows, Facebook is huge with a tremendous number of followers. So Facebook ads and Facebook header images are a great way to use photography to get the word out about your brand and really visually communicate your brand identity. In addition to that, Instagram-sponsored posts and Pinterest-promoted pins are also both excellent ways to use photography to promote your business.
Welcome to the show. And today we have as a guest, Greg Sugar. Greg, you're there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
It's a real treat to have you on the show today. We are thrilled to hear from you, the founder, and you can tell us more about the Thai Bar and also the Thread Experiment. Tell us all about that. What is the Thread Experiment?
So I guess I am always the founder of the Thai Bar along with my wife. And we sold that in 2013 to a group of private equity dudes. And then last year I started this new business called Thread Experiment. And Thread Experiment is in essence bedding designed for men. And so you might ask what that is. But
yes,
if you ever went shopping like I did when I was trying to design my home, you'll find that the designs are generally made for women. There's a lot of feminine bedding out there, but the problem is not everyone who shops for bedding is a woman. And so I didn't want flowers, and I didn't want pink, and I didn't want lace trim. I wanted something that appealed a bit more to my male sensibilities. I really couldn't find anything. And so I did some more research and went online to find brands that did that sort of thing and found that there were none. And so I guess I can't help myself whenever I feel like there's a hole in an industry. I feel like I can plug it in with a new business. And so about a year and a half after coming up with the idea, we launched Thread Experiment.
Wow. And who is we?
I have two business partners. One is a close friend from my days in Chicago, Greg Winner, and then another is Justin Makita. Justin is the husband of Jesse Tyler Ferguson, who is an actor from Modern Family. A lot of people know him from Mitch. So Mitch is married in real life to a great guy named Justin Makita, and we did a bow tie line for them back from our Thai Bar days. We became friends with them and stayed in touch with them, and after I sold the company, he had reached out to me and said, hey, have you ever thought about doing a business idea or doing a new business? And I had told him I was thinking about this concept of bedding for men. At that time, I was so burnt out from the Thai Bar, I wasn't really enthusiastic about doing it all by myself. Mm-hmm. And so I told him he loved the idea. And the next thing I know, we were working on researching some new ideas for designs and marketing and branding and everything else that goes into launching a company.
Wow, that's cool. So how do you get burned out from designing ties? Tell me about that.
Well, it's not so much that I was burned out from designing ties. I was CEO of the company.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those entrepreneurs that has a very hard time letting other people do work. And so while I had more than 50 employees working for me, I was still sometimes back there in our fulfillment center packing orders by myself. I was handling customer service calls. I was doing anything and everything that really I should have other people doing for me, but I couldn't help it. And so I'm doing that 7 days a week for 9 years in a row. And when I sold the company, I just exhaled. And that was a few months of exhale just to sort of catch my breath and get used to normal life again.
Wow. So were you in Florida during that, or were you in New York?
No, so I'm actually originally from Miami Beach, went to Beach High, and then ended up going to college and law school in the Midwest, and then became basically a Chicago area resident for about 20 years. So the Thai Bar was all in Chicago. And it was only until after we sold the company I moved back to Florida, and that's where Thread Experiment started, although I continue to operate that out of Chicago because that's where one of my partners is. A little confusing. But anyway, that the tie bar happened in Chicago.
Oh, wow. So now you are an attorney. You were trained as an attorney. How did you get into fashion?
I was actually a practicing attorney for 8 years in Chicago. I didn't make a conscious decision to get into fashion. I was sitting at the breakfast table one morning, spilled cereal on my tie. I think I cursed and then said, why do I have to now spend another $50 to replace this tie? How much can this thing actually cost? And so I went online and I did some research and reached out to manufacturers and found out that basically it's not expensive to manufacture a tie and it shouldn't have to cost $50. And that's what launched the tie bar, because the tie bar was, we launched it and became known as the company that sold a lot of great looking ties for $15 each. And back when we started it in 2004, the economy was doing great. And so the idea of buying a luxury item for an inexpensive price was sort of novel. The whole, the whole concept was new. And so there weren't other companies really trying to do that. And that's where the tie bar was launched. So I sort of came into fashion by accident. And, you know, certainly the first couple years of tie designs were very ugly and they did not sell well. And then I, you know, became immersed in fashion. I started going to trade shows and fashion shows and really studying design on my own, and finally sort of understood what it meant to make a really well-designed tie. And so we got better, and of course the company grew as a result.
So, Greg, does the tie bar still exist?
Oh, yeah, it still exists. It's still going strong under new ownership.
Okay.
I still own a piece of it. I'm actually on the board as well, but that's not part of my day-to-day life. I'm immersed in Thread Experiment right now.
Got it. So now where do we find the Thread Experiment bedding?
We sell exclusively online on our website. That's what we did with the tie bar. It was always an online company, so I wanted to do the same thing with Thread Experiment. So it's threadexperiment.com or even ThreadXEX, like FedEx, but threadx.com. That's where we sell everything. And really, you know, the concept is it's fashion for the bedroom for men. I mean, that. So our styling is very much designs you'd find in menswear. So you'd, anything from a Glen plaid to a formal paisley to wash denim. We have like a very male menswear-inspired looks that we put on the bed.
So that's what's your personal style, Greg? Do you wear? I mean, you're living in South Florida now, so do you wear ties every day, or what's your style?
Yeah, I mean, one great thing about selling the tie bar is I didn't have to wear a tie every day, because I always did in case people walked in. I wanted to act like, you know, you got to wear ties, but I actually don't like wearing ties. So the South Florida lifestyle allows me to wear seersucker shorts and a nice V-neck T-shirt if I want to. I still love dressing up when we go out. Even now, if I go to a party or I'm being interviewed by someone, I actually love to dress up, but probably because I never do anymore. But you know what? T-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops, you could still implement style into it. And so I try to. I don't just put on a raggedy T-shirt or anything like that. I try to still look the best that I can in a T-shirt and shorts.
So being the CEO and creator of a company and walking into a meeting or meeting new people in seersucker shorts and a T-shirt, how does that work out when you tell them who you are and exactly what you did and start? Do you get like a funny response, or are other people in your industry, because you're in Florida, dress up casual as well?
Well, no. If I have a meeting, I get dressed up. But now getting dressed up is a little bit different for me. So certainly in the old days when I dressed up, I mean, I would wear a suit and tie. I mean, I like overdid it. Now I'll wear a jacket with jeans, a nice dress shirt, and a pocket square. So I probably won't put a tie on. I'm not wearing slacks that my mom wants me to wear. I look a little bit more casual, but I still think that I'm dressed up enough to let the person know that I'm taking the meeting and taking them seriously.
So what is your take on South Florida becoming this huge fashion destination and fashion industry capital, Greg?
I don't know that we're there yet. I'm rooting for it. I think Miami's got incredible style, actually. I think men in Florida, they have their – South Florida – really do have their own look, and I love it because there's a lot more color. You find a lot more bolder prints. You find bolder prints on guys. It's not that standard Wall Street look that I got so used to seeing both as an attorney and even while running the tie bar. It's really its own look. I can identify what a Miami look is. It's actually quite similar in some ways to what I've seen in Charleston, South Carolina, although they tend to be a little preppier there at times. But I love the look of Miami. I think fashion in general is spreading to different parts of the country. I'm hoping that we see more fashion companies pop up in Miami. I don't know that we have a ton now, but there's no reason we shouldn't. I think part of the issue also is a lot of fashion companies have seasons.
Yes.
And so we don't down here, as you know. And, you know, when I walk into a store and I see, like, fall fashion, I get excited because I love seeing it. But on the other hand, I can't buy it because I don't need a jacket down here.
Right.
I need a jacket, right? I don't need a flannel shirt. So there's some stuff I love to see and I wish I could buy, but I don't need it here. So I think because of the lack of seasons here, it does put a little bit of an issue when it comes to style. I do know that, like, you know, there's some great bathing suit brands that are developing down here. Of course, Perry Ellis is down here. So there is a presence for sure, but it's hopefully it will get bigger.
So who's your fashion brand that you go to?
Well, the first thing I love to do is I love trying independent brands. So when I see a new brand pop up that no one's heard of, I always like to buy one or two things from them. Rarely, though, do they have, like, a full breadth of products that I can, you know, wear exclusively. But I will, and generally speaking, I do wear, for casual, I wear a lot of J. Crew. For dress, I probably wear some Ted Baker. So, but I still feel like there's a, you know, I'm 43, and I feel like dress is either made, I should say menswear is either designed for a 20-something or like a 50-something. I really feel like my age group is being largely ignored. And I really think there's room for a company to come in, a brand to come in, and really take over the 40-something menswear industry, because we don't want to look like a 25-year-old, and I definitely don't want to look like a 55-year-old. So I need something in between, and I try to piece it together using a group of brands and then sort of create my own look.
How has Thread experience been received by your audience? What kind of feedback are you getting? Because it's so interesting to have bedding just specifically created for men.
It's funny. I mean, Thread Experiment, we've gotten from the media has been great. The media is like, every time they hear the concept of bedding for men, the first response is, tell me more, or what does this look like? Because they never realized that bedding wasn't for men. And that's in essence
right.
What we're saying. It really isn't bedding for men. And so as we show our products and we explain what we're doing, it really resonates with them, and I've actually found it to be especially true as we deal with buyers. I even though I want to be an e-commerce company, I've been in front of buyers from some department stores, and they love the concept because they admit and they agree that the offerings that they have on their floor now are very feminine, and they acknowledge that naturally not everyone in the store is. So it's actually, the concept's been really well received. People who have heard, you know, our customer base who hears about the concept buy from us. The problem is we're like any other startup, and you got to let the world know that you exist. Building a company just by itself is usually not enough. You got to put a lot of money into marketing and advertising, and we have a startup budget, and so we're doing the best that we can. But certainly more people can know about it, and
so,
I think we'll do well once they do.
So, have you gotten better at delegating this time around, Greg?
I've definitely gotten better. We do have a few people that work for us, and I'm definitely doing a much better job delegating this time around. I learned my lesson last time. It's always a struggle at first, but I think hiring your first and second employees are always the biggest challenge. You do start to get better as you bring in more people to your group, but then it starts to become a new challenge of who do you trust as sort of an executive for your company mm-hmm. to make the big decisions, and that's the part I always struggled most with.
I see.
Only now I trust my co-founders at that level, just me and my co-founders.
Fantastic, yeah. Do you guys have to have weekly meetings? How do the co-founders get together and make decisions for the Thread experience and the direction it's going?
We actually do that every week. So we have a marketing meeting once a week, and then we have just a general meeting once a week by phone. And we're very diligent about it. We don't miss it, and we go over everything. Everyone sort of comes with like a list of things they want to talk about, and we go over them. And it's what's nice about having three co-founders is there's never a tie vote. So if there's ever a tough decision, we'll walk out with a decision. We're all very good about accepting defeat. So when I'm outvoted, I just accept it. And in some ways, I get convinced. I think, well, if these two guys think I'm crazy, then I probably am.
I guess that's great. So now, has any one of them ever made a questionable style decision, or do you even think about things that way? Obviously, like you said, you accept defeat, but are some ideas just crazy and you're just like, where did this come from?
Yeah, you know, and it's fashion or style, that's one of the toughest things because there really is no objective right answer. It's really all subjective. It's in the eyes of the beholder. Everyone's got different tastes. So definitely there are times where we disagree on tastes, and you just have to learn to respect that people's tastes are different. You want to sometimes hear where they're coming from, or I have to explain where I'm coming from, why I make a certain decision or why I like something, why a certain color appeals to me or why a certain design might appeal to me. It's good to always explain yourself, and you get a much better understanding of where they are. But, you know, yeah, we definitely disagree at times, but we actually are pretty good partners, and we get through it. And I think what we've put out there right now is excellent, and I think it's a real nice it's really a great assortment of design and coloring that really would appeal to men. And you know, so far it seems that way. We really, like any collection in any fashion, you're going to have the winners and the losers. And I'm happy to say that we have very few losers. Like right now it's been pretty good in sales, and a lot of our designs are selling nicely.
Great.
Hey, Greg, so this is called The Business of Style. And so we would like you to explain to the listeners how, if they are interested in starting their own business, since you've had one business, sold it, and started a new one, what are some strong bullet points that a new business owner coming into fashion should have in their mind?
That's a great question. I'm trying to write a book now, which is turning out to be a hell of a process. And that's sort of like the core of the book. And I've actually written an article on this before. The answer to your question is, it's all about the product. Before you get started on any aspect, like even naming your business, your logo, your marketing plan, you really got to start with creating a great product. And I think people tend to take that for granted. And that comes from anything from design to quality to your manufacturing. You really need to make sure that you have everything figured out from a product standpoint before you go forward with anything else. So that's what I would say, is don't take for granted that, you know, that the product will come. So, you know, when I said bedding for men, my work wasn't done. I now had to come up with an idea of what that's going to look like and make sure that these designs will sell well. So to me, that, I don't know, it's hard to believe that that can get lost, but that is the most important process of any fashion business. Make sure your product's right first, and then you can move to everything else.
So now, Greg, you've actually started a business that's focused on a particular product with ties and then with bedding. How do you expand, or do you envision extending your product line in a way that will actually create longevity?
I think you got to get good at what you do, and you do that first. So a great example, I tell this story all the time, is we started a tie bar in 2004, and in 2006, so just two short years later, we tried doing dress shirts, and it was a total failure. And it was a total failure because we didn't know anything about dress shirts, and we had studied ties for 2 years, but we felt so anxious to get into other product categories. It's always sort of a feeling that business owners have. And what I found was that people started to recognize us as a tie company and sort of experts in ties, but we didn't know anything about shirts, and it started to hurt our tie brand. So our shirts weren't great. They weren't a great steel like our ties were. The designs were kind of average. The quality was average. And so it started to affect the way that people thought of our brand in general. And so we quickly got out of it. Like literally within a few months, we realized this was wrong. We scratched it. We sold them like an eBay fire sale type of thing, just got rid of the shirts. So I guess the answer to your question is, I say you get, you know, business owners should start in a niche. You don't want to start a full line of everything right out of the gate. You choose something that you want to get good at, and you get really good at it, really good. And you develop loyalty with customers, and you develop a brand name in that, and then you get into other categories. Once you've really established yourself first in the category that you launched in. So ultimately, we did get into bow ties and pocket squares and tie bars and cufflinks and socks. We did a bunch of things, but it was only when we were a much more mature company and we had, in essence, mastered neckwear and we identified ourselves as a neckwear brand. Okay. That's when we felt comfortable getting into other things. So when I deal now with threat experiments, what matters to me is making sure that I get the sheets right, I get the comforter right, the duvet, and I want to make sure I get this right for a few seasons. And then we'll look at things like throw blankets, accent pillows, etc. But we're not there yet. I want to become an expert in bedding first.
Got it.
In the bedding world, what is considered a comfortable thread count? And then what's considered a luxury thread count? Since this is what you do.
I love it.
Yeah.
Great question.
Yeah.
I want to know.
So we actually have a page on our website that we call Bedding University, and we address the myth of thread count. Because that's kind of what it is. And when we started this business, you know, we came in with like a very blank slate with no general biases towards anything because we're not in this industry. And we tried thread counts from 200 to 800. And what we found was that at a certain point, you don't really quite notice the difference anymore, and it's not worth paying extra. And we stopped at 300. We actually found that 300 was more than adequate in terms of quality and feel.
Wow.
And so for us, we stopped at 300. The myth of thread count really comes because when you start looking at these high thread counts, 600, 800, 1,200, it's actually multi-plied fabric, which means that each ply has, let's say, 300 thread count, but they put four plies in, and that's how they get to 1,200. And it's important to understand that because that doesn't mean that the cotton's finer. That's the suggestion with thread count, that you're actually getting finer cotton, which is, you know, better. But it's not finer. It's just thicker. That's all it is. They just put one ply over another. So it really becomes a myth. And so, again, for us, we could have landed at any thread count we wanted. We felt like 300, anything above 300, you're just sort of, you're spending money really for nothing. And it's the quality of cotton that matters, too. We use long staple cotton, not the short stuff. And that's the quality that also matters when it comes to sheeting. It's the quality of cotton and not so much the thread count.
Now, are your products manufactured in the States?
No, we do. We make them in a city in China where they make all the bedding. We looked into really every country, including the United States, for manufacturing. Believe it or not, we could not even find a place that manufactures in the U.S. anymore. What they do here is they'll do cut and sew. So you would import fabric from Asia or wherever overseas, bring it in, and then they would cut and sew it here. But the fabric itself is grown and made in overseas. Anyway, we chose a factory that we liked in China. We didn't aim for China. We just happened to found some nice factories in India, even in Portugal. But the one that we found was the best was the one that we use now in China.
Awesome. So tell us again, how are we going to find your products online and in store?
Our entire collection is sold online at threadexperiment.com. And we just finished designing the fall collection, which comes out at the end of August. We'll have some great new designs in houndstooth, a bandana print, some bow tie prints. We've got some really fun stuff coming out in fun colors, a dark slate gray, a dark navy. So it's actually going to be an exciting season for us. But everything's online at threadexperiment.com. And I think you'll find now over 20 different types of bedspreads and 30 different styles of sheets. And that's where we sell everything.
Awesome. And what about you? Can we find you online and social media as well, see what you're up to?
Sure. I would just go to Twitter. I like to be on Twitter.
At Greg Sugar? We're finding you at Greg Sugar?
Yeah. At Greg Sugar. That's it. S-H-U-G-A-R. It's the best place to find me.
We're going to look for you.
Absolutely. We'll be following
you
for sure.
Yeah. You know what, Teresa?
Yes.
Teresa, we should put a link also to Thread Experiment on our page, on our Facebook page at stylechambers.biz, so people could easily get connected to him if they missed his website.
That would be
great. Definitely will. Definitely. Well, thanks so much, Greg. We are running out of time. So thanks so much for being on the show. We look forward to seeing your great designs. And I think that even though they are targeting men, as a marketing professional, I know that I'm going to be able to go get my own. And I like that houndstooth sound.
That
I like the sound of houndstooth.
Yeah. And Greg, you got to come to our party August 13th. So we'll keep you up to date with that information as well.
Send me an invite. I'll come. I'd love to.
Thanks so much, everyone. That's Greg Sugar from The Thread Experiment. And this is Fashion Friday. I'm Teresa Chambers.
Styles Lewis.
Have a great one.
This has been Fashion Friday. Join us here next week at 7 p.m. for another peek behind the curtain into the business of fashion, the business of style on 880 The Biz.